Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 273, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production. That's right, he's back, folks. A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, January 31st, 2023, which of course means last day of January.
Last day of January, also probably not my kid's birthday because the child is not on earth yet, so that's why I'm back. Just it's touch and go, folks, but yeah. National 31st, plan for a vacation day, National Backwards Day, inspire your heart with art day, and National Hot Chocolate Day. I felt like Hot Chocolate Day, we had that in December. Whatever.
I hate the fact that there are things like that, like inspire your heart with art, that is a good sentiment that nobody should be ashamed of, like, having or partaking in. But, like, I can't not see it in that font, that, like, Wine Mom font, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like curls, like, MT.
Yeah. That's, yeah, like, been stitched into a pillow or whatever.
The imagery is just fantastic. It's a small child with their, like, tie-dye hands, like they were doing tie-dye finger paint. So if that doesn't inspire your heart, Jack, I don't know what will.
How did they do that? Mona.
That's the whole thing, dude. Inspire your heart. Whoa. See, that art just inspired your heart.
That art inspired my heart.
Now go do some arting.
To be a competitive parent, I'm like, we need to do that art project.
We're like, what you got, kids?
My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hey, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Big Daddy Grain. Almost, I will be there. But, I can't leave y'all. Part of me is just if I have the voice in my body, I get on the mic. That, and also I just wanted to kick it with our guest today, so
this is that makes a lot of sense. This is long overdue. Thrilled to be joined in our third seat, one of my favorite humans, one of my favorite creatives. He also co-founded a humor magazine, Mental Floss. Ran the New York studio for iHeart while hosting a great podcast, Part-Time Genius.
Remember that.
Before moving on to start Kaleidoscope, a very exciting podcast studio, and hosts the show Starline Drive.
Yep.
Please welcome to the show the brilliant, the talented Mangesh Hatikadon!
Mangesh! What's up?
are.
What's going on?
What's up?
I feel like that was too nice an introduction. But
no, man, yeah. You know we fuck with you heavy, man.
Big fans over here. Yeah. Big fans. Miles made Her Majesty hold the baby for another day so he could be here for this.
Hold on, hold on. Let me look at it. If this document is right, put it on pause. Mangesh is on. Full disclosure, Her Majesty had the pregnancy salad, which is this thing in LA that supposedly like induces labor, but like it's just like a TMZ like LA myth, basically.
Yeah. Hey.
But it's funny when you go, they make you sign a book and shit. They're like, oh, you're having this, okay, you gotta fill out the book then. And it's just wild. I'm like,
they have a God complex about it. They're like, put your name in the book of life. For
right. Like, leave your inscription upon the wall for the other travelers that are curious. But it's such a scam to me, like, because you're dealing with something.
My wife did it too, and it also didn't work.
It's brilliant, right? Because for people who don't know, there's like this thing, it's like the pregnancy salad. And what it's supposed to do, people come like when they're around the time they're expecting, they have it and supposedly would induce labor. But like you're already dealing with people that are like very close to having a child anyway. So you could ascribe it to fucking anything. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you'd be like, LA water. You know what I mean? Take two sips of LA water every day.
But is there anything special about the salad? Like, is it spicy or is there like...
Mangesh, I fucking downed like a cup of I was like, hey, bring some extra dressing real quick, because I wanted to know, because all I know is it's a vinaigrette.
The rumor. It's the dressing, right?
Yeah,
there's something in the dressing.
It's a straight up vinaigrette. It's just a vinaigrette. I'm like, the fuck is this? That's I'm like, this is genius. This is genius. They don't know, but you put a placebo effect in people's heads. I love that, and they're just making bank off. There were so many other pregnant people there. It was wild.
Yeah, I misunderstood what the pregnancy salad was, and I ate just bushels of that shit trying to get a junior situation.
Yeah.
I thought it would have been good for the show's visibility.
Yeah.
And did not work out.
Disappointed a lot of people that day, including me. I was like, Jack, that's not how it works, man. I don't know. Maybe. It's like a big type situation where you interact with this magical, mundane thing and the impossible happens.
Yeah. These are exciting, terrifying times. So glad to spend them with you, Miles.
Yeah. And I guess you're also daddy. Am I ever gonna not be nervous in anticipation of this child coming up? Or were you cool, calm, and collected? Because everything I was telling Jack earlier, I'm like, I'm just a wreck right now. It's like, when the fuck is it? When's he coming?
I was so anxious, but I was also trying to like finish all these like we had a cover story and the author dropped out or the writer dropped out.
Oh,
and
no.
So I ended up writing it. And so I was like trying to get Lizzie to like hold off like having this kid until I was finished. So, but yeah, I mean, I was anxious the whole time. I was anxious the whole like first few months. It's crazy. It's like you have an alien in your house. So.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. I've always wanted an alien in my house. So
I went on this astrology for the reporting for the show. I went to India and visited all these like crazy astrologers and things. And like one of these guys told me that like he was talking about black magic and all this black magic that had been put on him and like how he found this amulet and he burned it and reversed the curse on these people. And then he was like, and also Tamil's the most important language in India. It's the only language aliens understand. And so
that's a big swing.
I was not expecting any of this, but particularly that part. This like Tamil hubris coming at me.
So. Yeah. The one true language. So. I'll fuck with it.
Yeah, the show seems amazing, and it sounds like the research has been pretty a journey, I guess, to say the least.
Yeah, it's been wild. I mean, like, it's one of those things that, like, I did it kind of as a lark because I knew that astrology was ridiculous, but also, like, a part of my life. Like, my parents were only married because their charts matched. And my mom's chart had something that said, like, she couldn't have a mother-in-law or her mother-in-law would die. And, like, my dad had lost his mom as a baby. And so, like, they got paired up as a result of that. And they were like, maybe you'd like each other. And so like they went on dates and wrote letters and all this stuff and then decided they did like each other. But like, so like I'm here because of astrology, whether or not I believe in it, you know,
right.
We just like this. But like we met the first astrologer who was on CNN, like in the early days of CNN, they were just trying to figure out like how to get ratings. So they put an astrologer on
like there's that page in the newspaper and we're a news channel, so fuck it, let's give it a shot. Should we also have a crossword puzzle?
But she was she was like, all these anchors would like deride me on like on air and then ask me to do their charts right after.
Yeah.
And like, and
that's the fucking thing. I feel like that's the thing. My brain doesn't want to believe in it, but then like all these things happen in my life and I'm like, man, like, so I can't admit, like, we're going to cut this shit. I'm not, Justin, you're cutting this shit. But I think I told you this when you were telling me that you were going to do this show, that like my three best friends and my wife are all born within a day of one another.
Oh,
and
yeah, yeah.
Like all the first people that I hired at Cracked were all like born in the same week and like all the shit that, you know, I'm obviously not checking for, but
yeah,
it's checking for me.
Whether you like it or not, Jack, it's coming for you. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the crazy serious thing that happened to me was like I went in as a lark and my friend AJ Jacobs, who's this writer, he was like, you should just like follow everything the astrologer says to the word. So like hire someone. And when the astrologer is like, that person isn't right for your show, then you got to let him go. And it's like good tape or whatever. And he during our reading, it was like all a really nice reading. And except he said, like, your dad is going to fall ill and might not make it through this year. And then like 20 minutes after our session, I was like hanging out with my cousin at the shop and I got this text from my dad that was like, I have metastatic cancer. We didn't realize this. Jesus, so it spread through my body. And it's like,
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it was awful, but it's also like one of those things that like there are things that are just so eerie that they're hard to discount, you know?
Yeah.
And so like you don't want to believe in something. And at the same time, like once someone said something, suddenly it gains this new truth or something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pregnancy salad, you know, chart readers. Yeah. All come
together. We had somebody who was going to tell us what the sex of our second child was going to be based on the rolls of fat in our first child's thighs. And she like had an amulet. Like we didn't like go to her or like hire her. She was
We didn't pay like six grand.
She's our baby nurse for our first child. And she had it like put an amulet over him and like went back and forth and was like, oh, it's a girl for certain.
Cut to.
And she was like talking us through it and she was like, except sometimes it's the opposite. I was like, yo, there's only two options here. So.
It could be though. It could be the opposite of what I said too.
Yeah.
There's this story I heard about this guy in the Middle East who is a sonographer, and he looks at babies' palms in utero and then tells rich moms the exact moment that they should have a C-section so that their baby will have the like perfect birth going forward. And so like I talked to OBGYNs about this in India, and they're like, yeah, people come in and they're like, I need my kid delivered in this exact 90-second window, and like, and they to do that, and otherwise they lose business or whatever, right? And so like it's this craziness around babies. But I was asking him, I was like, what about this guy who reads palms in utero? He's like, first of all, like, I have the best sonography equipment in the world, and, like, you can't read a baby's palm in it. And and secondly, most babies hold their palms in fists, and so there's
right.
no...
wow.
There's no determining it. So anyway.
I love that. Yeah, I'm a baby palm reader. They're like, how are you going to see their palms? I do.
Oh,
I do.
You know to ask that.
I've seen them. I've seen them.
don't you think that that salad place should be just like selling its dressing though? Like shops.
They do,
the
like
dressing?
You can buy it. I think with everything, like whether it's astrology or pregnancy salads, there's always a fun to think that there just might be something that we can't quite fathom that has like a power that we can tap into. So I get that. But just me looking at like just the grim nature of our like capitalist economy, I'm like, holy shit, dude, you could start a fucking racket with a bunch of things. It's like, yo, dude, you have this boba, right? Oh, my God, you could give birth within at least 4 weeks of that. But you got to have it when you're 36 weeks pregnant. And it's like, sure, the math there works out, but all good.
Genius.
You know, we all do what we got to.
Deferred result. You do like eat this salad and your child in their 30s will have the greatest run of luck ever.
Right,
and
right, right.
I feel like you, yeah, that might work. Like just all very, very specific things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a $1,000 Ivy League salad. right?
Like, exactly. Oh, yeah. There it is.
That's, oh, shit. Okay, exactly. That is the kind of dumb shit that would, like, happen in, like, New York or L.A.
Yeah,
or...
yeah, 18 years. You had an 18-year window.
Right.
But also, you know, the way that Ivy League schools work is actually, you know, if a family has enough money to spend on a $1,000 salad, they'll probably, like, buy
Jack, don't read into the data too much here, man. It's causation.
That's right.
It's causation.
All right, Mangesh, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the Memphis Police Department, who apparently gave a white cop a slap on the wrist and no murder charge because, you know, there was a white officer who was present and tasing and, yeah, just all around still dealing with the fallout from that. So we're going to talk about the Tyre Nichols case. We're going to talk about cancel culture striking again.
Ugh. Who
poor
this
Louis
time?
C.K. Louis C.K., man. Like, he had a sold-out show at Madison Square Garden. I didn't even hear about it.
He really did. Wow.
Yeah, he had a sold-out show at Madison Square Garden.
Good for it. Wow. Yeah, cancel culture. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about... There's a bunch of pandemic-themed movies, comedies coming our way. And I'm just curious, particularly, to get you guys' thoughts on, like, what it feels like we don't want to watch. I at least will speak personally, don't want to watch pandemic-themed content.
No.
At all. And I remember during the pandemic, I was very hungry for pandemic-themed content. Like, you know, people grappling with all of this and went back to be like, well, surely they were, like, great, you know, novels written during the 1918 pandemic. Right. And like the big one was written like 30 years later. And that's still the best thing that I've written, Camus' The Plague. But best thing I've read is Camus' The Plague.
Wait, hold on,
but,
Jack. Wait, hold on. That you wrote Camus' The Plague?
Yeah, I wrote it. few people realized it.
And that they were like, this guy should edit Cracked.
Yes, exactly. You should start a humor magazine. But I don't know. So I'm just curious, like, what we think it is. Is it just like people are ready to move on? Is there something about, you know, there's a World War I movie that's nominated for an Academy Award this year. So like war obviously photographs better than plague, but still it's like something that makes more of a cultural imprint and pandemics just don't. It's like they're written in disappearing ink or something.
Right.
So I want to talk about that. Other stuff. But first, Mangesh, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
So recently, Miles and I have been working on this show about a Robin Hood character, which I'm super psyched about. And Miles is incredible.
In April?
Yeah, I think May.
April-ish, May. Look, we're working on it. Just so you know, this isn't a joke. This is going to be a dope podcast. Yeah, I'm actually really excited because this is the first like narrative kind of podcast I've hosted and voiced. So, yeah. But go on, man.
We're sending a reporter out next week to various parts of Greece to chase down some of these myths of where this guy is hanging out, this fugitive. And one of the places that we're sending him is Mount Athos. Have you heard of Mount Athos?
Like,
yeah, it's this peninsula in Greece, and it is super strange. And I only just read about it, so like I'm reading about it in sort of like real time. But it is this place that's supposed to be like super sacred to Christianity, and so like the Russian Orthodox Church is there, the Greek Orthodox Church is there. But the craziest part about it is no women can go into Mount Athos. So even the animals there are all male.
Wait,
they don't have any female animals there.
Reverse Jurassic Park.
Yeah, what is
that? Reverse Jurassic Park?
Fucking incel Jurassic Park.
Yo.
And it's like because it's sort of this like tax haven slash like paradise slash whatever.
It's a tax haven too.
I remember reading about this in I think Michael Lewis wrote like an article about the financial collapse and Greece's role in it, and there was a bunch of it set in Mount Athos some reason.
That's definitely right. And so, like, Putin apparently has funneled a lot of money through the Russian Orthodox Church that's there. And it's these two, like, rival Orthodox Church on this one island where it's only men, and it's just, like, this fascinating, strange place. And apparently in, like, the 1950s, there was a Greek reporter, a woman who sort of like breached the island for 3 days before she was caught. Like, but there are like people who are constantly trying to get on the island or get it onto this peninsula and can't make it on.
Wow. Holy
shit. Okay. Mount Athos.
What does that do to the ecosystem?
They can't control everything, right?
Certainly. And how do they police the birds flying in and out?
I just
have like world's best chicken sexers out there, just like checking on every bird.
Well, they apparently only have eggs on Easter. Like they don't, right. Because yeah, it's exactly. So hard to get.
Wow. Have to ship those in.
I don't know the specifics of it, but I know that like there's like a pastoral land and there are only bulls there. There's like the only birds that chirp are supposedly male
birds. What's the logic of it? Is it like some Adam and Eve stuff? Like where they're like, you know what happens when the females are around?
It is partially, yeah, like and just no general temptation misogyny. And but also they think it's the only land that
sir,
you can't have those women animals.
Sir, hold on. What the fuck is going on here? What?
It supposedly is the only, like, the only woman who's been on the land is the Virgin Mary. Like, is part of it.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, there's a whole story so behind just, it, I guess.
The way to keep it sacred is just a bunch of lonely men cranking off, like, like men's weekends. Like,
Jesus Christ. It feels right.
Yeah. There's an article we're probably not going to have time to get to, but it's all about like the crisis of men in the modern world. And it's not written from like the men's rights movement, but it's like just men are doing worse in school, like by like drastically, like boys are doing worse in school. And it's just like this sort of global thing across societies that men are struggling. And this feels like I don't have the explanation. But the need to create this sort of thing where it's like just us, me and my boys can be ourselves, like without women around, probably has something to do with the crisis.
Yeah, you're dealing with like 2,000-year-old cultural norms, and you're wondering why people are struggling in the year 2023.
So fragile.
But what you could do is so like we could burp without having to say excuse me, or like right. like it's just like so lame.
Yeah. So tight, dude.
Thank you.
Athos is for the fellas. What can I say?
Athos for the boys.
My ultimate man cave, Mount Athos. That's great. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more. Get to know you better.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right.
That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
And we're back. And Mangesh, what is something you think is overrated?
I think Bono is overrated.
Whoa.
And I don't mean, I mean, like, I like Bono himself as a musician, I guess. And like, but
dude, what?
Wait, what?
Sorry. Bro, dude, what? You were just talking about how chill Mount Athos is, dude. And now you're going to hit me with Bono's overrated, bro?
I'll tell you why I think Bono's overrated. Because every time someone pitches you a podcast and they're like searching for relevance, they pitch that they're going to get Bono on the podcast. And yeah. The idea that, like, you know, that this is going to change whether or not a podcast works is like ludicrous to me. But it's always like, no, no, no. They said they were going to get Bono on. We should like sign him to a 3-show deal. You know, like,
yeah.
Like, I feel like Bono was the bane of my existence, like at iHeart. And even now I feel like people throw it out. Like it, like
you're still seeing Bono's face on a deck for a show.
I've never heard Bono on a podcast. I mean, like, I'm sure he's been on a podcast, but like, he's not going to come on your real estate podcast to talk about, like, you know,
right?
Fancy New York apartments. Like, that's right. Not going to happen.
And what's going on? And yeah, with like how he's diversifying his portfolio as he gets older, kind of shit. Like, yeah, that's not happening. But it is funny. Yeah, to your point, just some inside industry baseball. Like when we've looked at pitches for shows at iHeart, like there is something, he is like an ever present, like potential host that a lot of people are like, yeah. And this thing about Tupac's unsolved murder hosted by Bono. You're like, no, you're not. What are you fucking talking about? Just because he did like a show with one of the producers 15 years ago? Like, no. Like, and no one wants to see that shit or hear it.
but that's like, Bono's, that's exactly everywhere. How tangential like Bono is to so many of these things.
Yeah.
And he still shows up everywhere.
It's like climate change, like HIV AIDS. I think there was another pitch where it was about something like with the 80s or something, and then also having Bono voice that. We're like, yeah, he
anything kinda that touches Africa. Like, it's like, oh, we got the person for this, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
remember Project Red? Catorce. Right.
<Good morning. laughs>
What is something
that's just so wild that
like still. I feel like I can't get past that. Sorry, I can't move past Bono still everywhere. Being like the coolest possible.
A lot of people haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it reveals that like cool factor or the age of the person putting the deck together. You know what I mean?
It's like,
dude, this thing about crypto, dude, you know he's sick to host this? Fucking Bono.
Right.
What? No.
Yeah. It's like it's Hamilton, but older. Like Hamilton, but more irrelevant. Like, I feel like it was irrelevant when Hamilton. Yeah. Like, you know how Hamilton just like aged like bananas and now it's just like, I thought it was fucking so cool when it first came out. Now I'm like, I can't listen to a single song without like cringing at this shit. Yeah. And like, I actually never really fucked with U2, but like,
I never fucked with U2 either. I never fucked with you either.
Yeah. I never fucked with U2, Mangesh and Miles.
Wait, you meant the band? Oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's to that point though, I feel like we also see Lin-Manuel Miranda as a host, pitched as a host too.
Yeah.
You know, like in certain things, you're like, and someone like Lin-Manuel Miranda. So I guess we always have, is he our new Bono? Is this all to say, is Lin-Manuel Miranda taking the mantle for Bono?
I don't know. I actually just got a text from one of, I guess the agencies have ears in our recording studio because they just told me I can kiss any future of having a Hamilton cast member on TDZ goodbye. So,
well, we already booked a V Diggs anyway, so good luck.
What is something, Mangesh, that you think is underrated?
So I feel weird saying this after the Arts with Hearts day that you pushed in the beginning. So I think clubs and making your own clubs are underrated, because
yeah,
Ruby, my kid, and I, like, I was traveling a lot, like, not finding more, like, time for stuff, and then we decided to have, like, a Tuesday night art club where we, like, make mocktails and then do art, and and Ruby makes, like, a mix of music for it, and now, like, people want to come to Tuesday night art club, and it's it's like something so small and simple, and there's like nothing that goes on, but it's just like, I don't know, it's awesome. So I feel like when you put a label on something, it just makes it like more fun. And so
yeah,
I'm for starting clubs.
Wait, so what's like, give me an idea, like, that, you know, this is the hottest club in town, people are banging on the door saying, hey, I brought females with me, the ratios are right, let me in, man, gosh, I want to be part of the club.
Females.
But like, what do you guys do? Like, what's the kind of, like, what kind of, like, what was the last art project you made?
Like, so we took a bunch of like cardboard and make these giant faces out of them, like, and glue them together and stuff. But like, we're going to do like a sneaker project where we just like paint sneakers together. We're going to like,
okay,
stuff like that. Yeah,
like white slip-on canvas shoes or whatever.
Yeah, like Vans, and just get a bunch of like Posca markers and like, yeah.
See, now I'm already like, yeah, how do I get in?
Yeah,
I can bring my own shoes. But
is it like through a laundromat? Like, do you have to walk through a laundromat to like find the hottest new club?
Fourth dryer on the left.
Yeah,
but it's like, but honestly, like now, so many more of my friends are getting like sober and they don't have things to do, like in the, you know, in the evenings, and like, and I have a kid, and I'm not gonna like I still have to own being a dad, and so like it's like an awesome way to sort of force my friends to hang out with me and like, and hang out with my kid. So
that's amazing. I love it. I'm gonna steal that idea. It's wonderful. Yeah. And I'm not gonna cite you.
So, just boys, just guess what daddy just thought of on his own right now.
That's right.
But I mean, like, you know, anything, like my I have some friends who do this like weekend in America, and they just pick like, you know, a different strange place they haven't been, and once like, you know, well, once every 3 months, 4 months, they take a field trip to this place, and they have t-shirts, and like suddenly a t-shirt makes something feel like more real or something.
Yeah,
and
that's a club
for sure.
That's club official right there.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's great. The weekend in America. Have they like discovered any under known about gems?
I forget. They told me about somewhere
they
went.
Have them on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You'll have to get them on.
Not done. You're about to answer the question.
No, I mean they were talking about me some like in Montana. There's some old like the oldest Chinese restaurant in America, I think, in Wyoming Montana, and like so they went out there and like, you know, did cowboy stuff, but then also like ate old Chinese food. So old Chinese food, Chinese food from an old restaurant. Yeah.
Wow, the Peking Noodle Parlor, built in 1909, the oldest continuously operating Chinese restaurant in the United States, in Butte, Montana.
Wow. Okay. We just blew up Butte, Montana.
Yeah.
Buteans, sorry about that.
Sorry. Off the strength of that.
Overrun with hipsters.
Hey, set your Airbnb rates high now, you know?
That's so right.
That just make that money while you can, because they're coming.
Get ahead of the surge. All right. Let's talk about the Memphis police. So on Monday yesterday, they confirmed that a sixth officer had been placed on administrative leave in connection with the death of Tyre Nichols. Preston Hemphill, the one white cop who was involved and who is not facing murder charges.
Mm.
He hasn't been fired. He is the previously unidentified white officer who pushed Nichols to the ground and then hit him with a taser. And I believe could be heard yelling on one of the videos, I hope they stomp his ass at one point.
And he's just on timeout.
Yeah, he's just on timeout. So there, you know, any speculation that, I think you said, Miles, like, it's weird how they were so quick to, with the
black officers involved.
Listen to all what we've been saying all along, how they should deal with this shit by, like, when every officer involved is black. And
right. But not like this. It's like, but unless there's a white guy, in which case a white supremacy will also protect that person in the commission of a murder.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I wish we just like could reach the point in like mainstream discourse where we can just stop, like we just call policing a failed experiment. And that's just being, that's being very charitable, even calling it an experiment, given the origins of policing. But like, you know, like there's countless deaths. There's countless videos of people abusing their power and being and brutalizing innocent people. And our reflex is to immediately try to problem solve, like as if this whole system of policing is like a like a malfunctioning Sonos speaker that just needs to be unplugged real quick and then plugged back in. And then it'll start working like it needs to. Oh, wait, maybe we just need to update the software. That's the problem. When really, nah, the shit is broken. And it's not worth continuing to try and think that we can solve our problems through this very narrow lens. And so, like, we can't expect any other outcome aside from the one we're seeing because the whole concept is just predicated on the idea that our society's issues stem from dangerous hoodlums or someone having a mental health crisis, rather than the fact that we are being preyed upon by the wealthy and the powerful. And the proof of that predation is in how our social fabric is deteriorating before our eyes and the desperation that we see in our communities. That's what we need. That's the fucking boogeyman we got to fucking go after. Not, what's this motherfucker doing in this part of town? Beat him up. Shoot him. Why is this person yelling and got a stick? Shoot him. Like, we're not fucking, we're not dealing with the actual issues. And again, we'd rather do this thing where we're holding on to this broken fucking system and not just looking back and like, yo, there's not a single thing you can show me that that indicates to me that this works.
Right.
That's all. The only thing it does is continue to be a venue for increased spending. That's the only thing I've seen go up in a positive way, quote unquote. And that's for people that are invested in the carceral state.
Yeah, a lot of money gets spent. And also, you know, there's an argument that like this is working the way it was intended to work.
Yeah.
You know, like that this is from the early days of American police being founded as a like slave patrol up to today, like that it feels like there's a pretty straight line that would suggest that this is what they had in mind. And
yeah
people are getting rich off of it and feels like they just try and weather this shit, you know, just get it passed so it can keep doing what we want it to do.
And to see, like, I mean, in New York the library budget got cut so that police budgets could go up. You know, it's like, these are places that are like lending ties to people so that they can go on for job interviews and like doing all this training and all this incredible community work. And like, you know, for more policing, like it just feels ludicrous.
Yeah.
83% of U.S. counties increased funding for police departments in 2022. Like at this time when we're supposedly like supposed to be out on police, the whole 83%.
Yeah. And like you hear people like Bill Maher over the weekend, it's like, well, I mean, look, the cops were black that murdered him. So it might be that this issue's bigger. It's not just about race, or like, I don't think race has anything to do, or like dismissing that. It's really just about white supremacy. The police uphold the system of white supremacy. So it doesn't matter what you look like. When you enter that system, you are there to uphold it. So it's not a mystery that it's like, well, how could they do that? Because you hear people also say, we just need more cops that live in the communities they patrol. Or what if we just have more black cops? But the research doesn't show that does fucking anything. It has very minimal impact, if any, because again, like we're saying, at the end of the day, you're sending these people into cities as police and the game is predetermined, which means that these people think that they are peacekeepers dealing with some insurgent population that they have to defend themselves from.
Also have like quotas to meet and like, yeah, I mean, it's all of it's backwards.
So what do they do? What safety are they providing? Robin Panacki on Wonkette put together like an exhaustive list of statistics that just point to that underline, like what the fuck, like 2% of violent crimes are actually solved by the police.
Yeah.
4%. Of police time, 4% is the time that police spend devoted to dealing with violent crimes in any capacity.
Which is the 4%. Only argument that you hear every time you bring up defunding the police, investing in alternatives to policing. People are always like, what are you going to do when someone shows up at your house with a sub-automatic Uzi and okay. take your, you know.
How about this? Okay, so let's say that happens and you got 72 feral hogs running wild on your property. You got to call 911. Well, right. 5% of the time is the police actually are able to respond to a 911 call in time to prevent violence from happening right. or even catching the person. So like we're every like the success rates are fucking so low that you're like, well, if the whole point is like y'all stop this, y'all stop that, the numbers don't back it up. So we need to be but again, we're talking about upending the status quo and like abolishing the policing. But as it just logically, it's not doing what even it's supposed to be doing. So from that standpoint, it's a fucking L. And all it does is create a tremendous loss of life. And I don't know, like we have such a problem even defining what we need. Like it's that like, is it policing? You know, we need more policing, or do we need to ensure that our communities are safe? Right. And we need to figure out how to ensure that safety, because it's not just we'll send the fucking patrols out to sweep bullshit up and brutalize people, because like we need safety, right? We need safety from lack of services or lack of a social safety net or safety from like an economic system that sorts people into disposable and non-disposable in the blink of an eye. Like those are the larger issues, but we get really, they've done a fantastic job rhetorically of like acting like this is a thing, like these are all like anomalous one-off problems.
Right.
Rather than a completely failed thing. So most of us like feel like we're walking around and like looking in a funhouse mirror where it's like, that doesn't look good, actually, what I'm seeing.
Right.
But I guess I'll keep going because the way we're talking about it is just to be like, I don't know, maybe we can fix that thing a little bit.
One of the things we talk about, like this idea that the local news is like reliant on this. If it bleeds, it leads, and the police as a source. But there's just been so many like cartoonishly just blatant failures by the police, just constant. Like I'm just that's if the media wanted to portray this situation as it was, they would have no shortage of evidence of police failing on the job or committing violent crimes on the job, but instead they really shy away from it. Like I was just, every time something like this happens, I'm just like, I just add it to this mental list of like the child who was being held hostage by her dad and the police got in a massive shootout and just shot her like to death.
They thought she
when she got away from her dad and was like running towards them, they were like, we didn't know if she was armed. And so they shot her to death. The cop who drove cross country, kidnapped a child and murdered her whole family. Like the Golden State Killer, we found out was like, I mean, this was a couple of years back, but he was a cop who was using his ability like to, you know, his access as a cop to commit like one of the most heinous like strings of murders back in the 70s. And they knew he was a cop because like based on all the shit that he knew. Like so it's just, there's such an immense body of evidence that it would be like so easy for the local news to stay like stick with that if it bleeds it leads like thing, if that's what they want to show. But they don't, like they're part of a broad system that wants to shy away from that reality.
Yeah, it's again, it's to keep the, you know, these hegemonic systems in place.
Right.
And there's no appetite to do that. And yeah, to your point, it's like you could every day there's something like, yeah, well, guess how they fucked up again today.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you could do that constantly. But instead, they're like, wow. And this guy hit the TikTok dance like challenge like flawlessly with a bunch of school kids. Isn't that amazing? OK, well, later on, coming up in the hour, we're going to talk about some dogs you can adopt who were shot by drug dealers, according to the police. They need a home. Like,
right.
Just every single thing is just fed through this lens, like rhetorically, that it's just always framed as, well, how do we fix this thing that's completely broken and useless?
Right.
Rather than being like, this thing's broken and completely useless. What the fuck are we going to do about this?
And extremely dangerous. It's broken. It's like those, were you guys young enough that when, or old enough, I guess, that there was a big health panic around old refrigerators just like left in people's yards?
No.
Do you remember?
I don't remember. I mean, I'm older, but I don't. I don't remember that.
There was like a handful of very special episodes about like old refrigerators, because old refrigerators, I guess, used to lock from the outside when you would close them.
Oh, so people would get like kids would get stuck inside.
People would play hide and seek. There was a very special, I think, Punky Brewster, where she got trapped inside and they found her almost too late, but revived her with CPR. But anyways, it's broken and it's killing people constantly all over the place.
Right.
Like those old refrigerators.
Refrigerators.
That is a reference that everybody understands.
But and I'm, at the same time, I'm sure Punky Brewster did a Copaganda episode.
For sure. Yeah.
Shit. But yeah, I mean, again, it's weird how like every day there's like, you see the news when this happens, you're like, oh, you know, like it's just raising more questions about our policing system. But there's just really, again, there's no real good faith effort to do anything about it. Cause like you said, 83% of US counties increased their funding in 2022 off the heels of all this. Like, yeah, we got to really think about this. It's all lip service, because at the end of the day, like for us to live in the type of world where we're looking out for who is actually causing harm is it's actually a threat to the economic system. So
yeah, like one
that's where we're stuck.
Very specific change that we could see them make include crimes committed by police in the crime rate. So when you fund the police, like, scorpion unit,
yeah.
Let's see what happens to fucking violence in the community when you include all the violence that's being perpetrated by them.
Yeah. What if you drop a scorpion into this precarious situation?
Right.
Sounds cool. Like a good idea, but
yeah, nailed it, guys.
Yeah. And just like even the way things are worded, you know, like scorpion, like what the fuck? You're like, yeah,
they knew, but again,
it's
like
not
they
to fucking help people. It's a death. It's a paramilitary death squad.
Yeah, exactly. They knew exactly what they were doing. This is a group called Scorpion doing what you would expect a group called Scorpion to do.
Yeah, like not the kid gloves soft touch brigade.
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk cancel culture and pandemic themed comedies. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X, fit for you just as you are.
And we're back. And Louis C.K. was trending on Twitter, which is never, it's never a good thing. Rarely. It hasn't been a good thing in a while. But this time it was because, I guess good for him, his recent Madison Square Garden concert sold out. Guy's killing it.
Wow. He can't even kill his own career.
Yeah.
Look at him.
So TikToker Talia Lichtenstein went viral by, she just like got up and was like, can we stop canceling guys who are brilliant artists over hearsay? Like, yeah, women have stories of him, them being creepy, but then, you know, and yes, their stories may match up, but because of that, we're going to just make it so they can never work again. And as she says that, like behind her, the,
oh, just reveals
the digital billboard changes to read, oh, tonight, Louis C.K. sold out. So extremely well done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's
cancel culture is like, you have to have a pretend boogie person that is like made for powerless people to feel like it's like effective. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like powerful white guys. I'm like, oh, the cancel culture. It's like, come on. They're even like, come on, y'all. They can't cancel me. But I'll be like, oh, the cancel culture. But at the end of the day, societally, we're not actually ready to hold people to account or have experienced a kind of sea change that would actually be like, yeah, you know, what you're doing is foul. It should actually exclude you from like from participating in X, Y, and Z or whatever. But
right. It
finds a way now where very quickly, you know, I think it's, I don't know. It has this way where like in the beginning, you'll feel like, oh, thank God. Look, some people are like not booking Louis C.K. That's good. I like what that's indicating. And it gives people a moment to feel like something, like maybe something is happening, but then it just comes right back. That's why I think cancel culture is much more effective as like this specter to raise for like, you know, the powerful to like deploy against themselves, because it's not going to do anything.
I mean, right. I was in a fairly soon after the like Louis C.K. stuff like came out, like I was in a room with a newscaster, because we're all in this like attracting various like podcasters to the space or whatever, and she was like, I don't even understand what he did, like that was so bad. And it's like, how, I mean, like, one, just being in that room with the women and not letting them leave and exposing himself and doing all these things was awful in itself. But like the fact that like he had his manager, like basically anyone who was about to speak out or like wouldn't consent, like basically like shut down their career and not get them like into any clubs and stuff. Like he canceled like several women's careers, like, you know, like tons of people. And I think like in that mix of problematic people and men in particular and whatever, like somehow because they had different gradations of what they did and their awfulness, like people just kind of all forgot like a lot of the worst ones and only kept like the, I mean, even like, you know, a president who's assaulting women and whatever, right? Like the accountability for him wasn't particularly great, and it's not like he got canceled in a big way. And so, like, I mean, right. I just think that like I in some ways, like it's to me it's this is maybe a not fair thing to say, but like I feel like you end up being so numb from like all the accusations and stuff that people like stop investing in like how much it's worth, you know, like to. Not
well, I think the numbness comes from the lack of accountability that follows.
Yeah.
Because if you knew there was a cause and effect sort of sequence, then you'd be like, yeah, fine. I'm always outraged to hear that someone's like, you know, experiencing a lack of agency or having some kind of transgression they're experiencing at the hands of a sexual predator. That will always be upsetting. But to your point, it's sort of the same way we feel about mass shootings or police violence when it happens over and over and over and over again. And you're just like, I can't be the only person who this really bothers, right?
You're being gaslit by your society into just being like, yeah. No, we saw that. We know it. We know
that. Yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
That's going to end the world. And we get it. No. We get it. It's bad. We changed our ads so that we're now, our logo is green.
Yeah.
So like,
Louis's not on FX anymore.
Right. Louis lost a show on FX, and I think one of his movies got buried by being like incredibly creepy. Like the movie that got buried was incredibly creepy.
Yeah.
But also, like, so people are coming through and being like, well, yeah, he's got fans. What do you want them to do? But like a tour like that counts on like many institutions to come together. And also, he has like subsequently made a movie that was released, just won a fucking Grammy last year. So he's like not, he's not canceled. It's another thing like BP claiming that they're now an energy company and they're actually part of the solution at this point. You know, right. It's just a cosmetic change that's being made. And it is, I think you guys are right. Like that is what is so maddening about it, is because we're all like kind of just sitting here watching it happen while people are like, no. Like we do get it. We're doing something in response to this while not doing anything in response to it. And just watching the problem happen over and over again and get worse.
The other thing that's maddening is like so many of these people like should have been canceled long before, right? Like the whispers in the rooms about like Louis C.K. or like, you know, the when Gawker used to have blind items, like you could identify like so many of these people and like, you know, Cosby or whoever. Like there's so many people who like the industry knows about and just protects because there's money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many people whose careers were canceled by Harvey Weinstein or Louis C.K. Like the number of people whose careers were canceled by them outnumbers like their careers being canceled, you know, like you said. So,
hey, but, you know, like you said, it's an agreement of many different many different bodies and organizations to make it happen. And again, just more it's always indicates it's like, well, the public outcries over it aren't enough, you know, because at the end of the day, profitable because they're seeing something get sold
and that's
out.
The only thing that matters.
Yeah, so fuck it. Yeah, like why switch? Wait, what about renewables? No, that's not profitable, you fuckwit.
Yeah,
keep pumping the dinosaur farts.
That's right. All right, and then finally I want to talk about just pandemic themed culture, pandemic content, like
culture.
So there was a movie that came out, I think, a couple weeks ago called Sick, written by Kevin Williamson, the person who wrote Scream. Set at a secluded cabin during the early days of the pandemic. I don't know. Like, I didn't really hear that many people talking about it. There's one coming up with Adam Pally, which sounds like great. Like, I love an Adam Pally comedy where he's playing an obnoxious asshole. This one is called Who Invited Charlie? And it basically seems like it's What About Bob set during the quarantine.
Even the the title is like, okay, hold on. Mirroring What About Bob pretty closely.
Right.
Who invited Charlie? Right. It's just, yeah.
There's also Life Upside Down, a romantic comedy that was mostly filmed during lockdown with iPhones and iPads. That was, like, I didn't know about that one at all. Is this the one that...
With Bob Odenkirk?
Yeah. And there was also... So then there was a Judd Apatow comedy called The Bubble
that I was
completely unaware of.
I had no idea this was a thing.
Yeah.
Is it like when someone puts out an album so bad, they're like, yo, just shut the fuck up about that one. We don't need to talk about
that. Yes. It came out on Netflix. It was a showbiz satire about how the pandemic affected a blockbuster movie with just like tons of COVID gags that were already like kind of stale. It also had a thing where I guess they were joking about how like it seems like the people in charge of safety mandates are making it up on the fly. Which,
oh my God.
Yeah, I was just totally unaware. There was a Judd Apatow movie about how the CDC is like making up all the COVID safety measures. That's
further wild. Yeah, Apatow's drift to the right.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, it, like all these movies seem like they... You know, we talked during the pandemic, like I said, that like it didn't seem like there was a ton of stuff that came out of the 1918 pandemic. And, you know, other than a novel that from Camus, that was ghostwritten by me, obviously, that came out like 30 years later and, you know, is really great and was like kind of the best thing that I read at that time to like help me get my mind around what was happening. But it does feel like the stuff is being made. It's just like it's not resonating, which I just wonder if it's like some mixture of it not being a fun thing to watch.
No,
as opposed to war.
it's stupid people in development who are opportunistic and not realizing what the real development cycle looks like from when you're like, yeah, green light that thing from Judd Apatow. Cut to 2 years later. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
Like, it, I get like a rapid response. Maybe like you're saying at the time, I was kind of like curious about like what stuff would be out there that's reflective of like the situation I'm in. But the more we think about it, I'm like, I'm only filled with discomfort. Looking back on the like the early days and just where we're at today.
I think, I mean, the other trend I've noticed, and I guess I wasn't even aware of like how much stuff was coming out about pandemic themed like stories, but I've noticed like a lot of body horror in like films, like The Menu, mm-hmm. has some of it, and then like that Banshees of Inisherin or whatever that movie was, and it's like there's a lot of like self mutilation or like mutilation that's been happening in films too, and like I don't know, it's odd to me because like I feel like all after going through that period and then seeing headlines like, you know, we were talking about earlier, like all I want to like be in is in like spaces of like comedy or like, you know, things that are joyous or like wondrous or whatever, and yet like I feel like I keep tuning into comedies and then seeing this, which is a strange reaction, I guess.
Yeah. And I wonder if like the, you know, like when talking about World War One or something, that's easy to sort of wrap your head around, like you're saying, Jack, because it's like war. But like, I wonder if there is something that's even about this period that's written after the fact, if the themes are even going to necessarily be about COVID-19 itself, or like that it's revealed just a deeper societal sickness in us.
Sure.
Like, and I mean, I don't know if we're like there with the commentary yet. Like many people are pointing out how fucked up the situation is for many people. But I don't know if that's like the main thing we're taking away from this still. It's like, yeah, well, I didn't get it. And I got to, like, we're not really, we haven't zoomed out on like what era we're truly in right now.
We went through something and like haven't really processed it. Don't want to face the fact that we haven't really processed it. It's interesting, the idea of like body horror and like mutilation, because, you know, the Iraq War was also a massive cataclysmic event that we lived through that never really had its apocalypse. It never had its like on-screen movie that really like broke through and everybody watched. You know, there were some, but they weren't like blockbusters. Mm-hmm. They were not like things that were like culture defining.
Yeah, or like hero porn.
But we did have the like torture porn break, like movies happen at
like
that
Saw.
Time.
Yeah.
Like Saw and stuff, like, so that's like how we dealt with it, was by watching people get mutilated in slow motion.
Oh, so in that sense, like, right, the body horror as like metaphor for our own self-inflicted.
I wonder if that's all like kind of just different ways that our trauma is coming through to the surface and like bubbling up. See, I knew I wanted, we had this story on the dock for a little while and I was like, nope. All right.
Nothing to say about this.
I want to see what Mangesh has to say about this. And brings through the heat.
Hey, what about that pregnancy salad, though? I think that has something to do with it, too. I don't know. That's just my 2 cents. What did you think about that, Jack? I said that just now.
Good, right? I love it.
All right. Still got it.
This guy still got it. All right. Well, let's see. Hit us with your theories on what's happening with if there is, maybe I missed some pandemic themed thing. Like I know the Hurt Locker was an Iraq War one. So like, has there been a Hurt Locker for the pandemic? Let us know.
But is it like, but nothing is quite having the apocalypse now. Like there's not a film that you could say like, oh, this is the apocalypse now.
Yeah.
This conflict.
I guess Contagion was the one that. But it happened 10 years before.
Yeah. Maybe it was Crash. Paul Haggis's Crash, just to come back to that.
Well, I think that one really sums up everything about the human condition. And I've always said that. Like, that's the one that really brings it all together for me.
Absolutely.
Made me want to be a better man.
Made me want to be ludicrous.
Mangesh, such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
Well, first of all, I miss you guys. It's really such a pleasure to be hanging out with both of you. And so please come to New York and hang out with me. You can find me at Tuesday Night Art Club. That's a pretty good thing.
Hey, I'm going to show up one of these Tuesday nights, man, unannounced.
TNAC.
My show is Skyline Drive. And so if people check that out, I'd be thrilled. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram as M Hatigather, which is not easy to spell, but it's, I think, the only one.
Yeah, there you go. And is there a tweet or some other work of media that you've been enjoying?
It's not a tweet or work of media exactly, but I saw photos of that palace cat in the, it's like this wildcat that's small and cute and super cuddly, and it's like called the original grumpy cat, and they found it in Mount Everest, which they didn't think it existed in before. And so I've been obsessed with that recently.
That's amazing. And is it still up there, or that it's been brought into captivity?
No, there are these cats all over like this region, but like very, very few and far between. Mm. But they had never found them on Everest. So
yeah. Miles, where can people find you, and what's the work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, day to day. Find me on at Miles of Gray, where there's at symbols. Maybe I'll be daddy. Maybe it'll be another day or two. But hey, I'll let y'all know when that happens. Mm-hmm. Where else? I don't know. I'm my mind is fucking like.
Why? What's wrong?
Between the police violence, mass shootings, rampant inequality, you know, fucking pregnancy salads. I got a lot on my plate. But anyway, find also Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, where we talk about the NBA, which is fun stuff. And then 420 Day Fiance, where we're talking about 90 Day Fiance. A tweet I like. Let's see. Oh, this one's just from, Blair, baby, at Blair Saki. Just tweeted, I just like this, just as where she is in her life. She said, tonight is my first night of adult soccer. It is going to be humbling for me to not be good at first, as I am a lion and a titan in the sports arena. But God, make no mistakes. But God makes no mistakes. So, she's like, I don't know. I was DMing her. She's like, yo, I don't know how this is going to go. I haven't played since I was 10. And I was like, it's okay. Just because you were D1 volleyball doesn't mean you...
I feel like she got a hat trick. My prediction for that is she...
Oh, yeah. Perfect hat trick. Left foot finish, right foot finish, headed goal. Yeah.
There you go. Some tweets I've been enjoying. Let's see here. This is just a good one. Somebody, R. Jones, Bofa Jones Jets, tweeted... If no one has sent this yet, I'm fairly certain this also makes whatever number the date is the same weekday every month. So since we're talking about dates and horoscopes, it's just a screen cap with, like some footage or a photo. It's a meme, and it says me explaining that if we had 13 months instead of 12, every month would be exactly 28 days. The first would always be a Monday and the 28th would always be a Sunday. Every month would have exactly 4 weeks instead of 4.257, and we would properly align ourselves with the cycle of the moon. That was a revelation for me. I have to go back on what I said when I disagreed with Ben Boland's take that calendars are bad. I'm going to revise that to our calendar is bad.
Yeah.
And we should make this change immediately. Sanjeev tweeted, everyone should have a friend who has no idea what your job is and doesn't care. I think that's good advice.
Holy I have shit.
Lots of those friends.
Yeah, they're called
and
family.
That friend in return. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, is there a song that you'd like to leave the people with if this is your last recording
I don't know if it is. It could be. And this is the thing. If I'm not on the recording, it doesn't mean things have gone into labor. We're managing a lot as a household.
Of course.
And it's weird that you're like, well, what is the last song? The song's called Forbidden Fruit, but it has nothing to do with me.
He's sending a message.
This is my last one. It just happened to be. And this is from the artist Monodrone. And it's like, it feels like kind of like easy listening DJ Shadow, if that makes sense. You know, like very sample based instrumental stuff. But like, it's not like spooky. You don't feel like you're getting like followed like on a rainy night. So check this out. This is Forbidden Fruit by Monodrone.
There you go. All right. Well, we'll link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Yep. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic, that's a literal pro, and it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.